Well, several weeks ago, while we were in Melbourne, I was pondering upon 2022, as you do, and I'm sure you have too, and wondering what this year has in store for you, and what this year has in store for me. What does this year have in store for Real Life Church? And you know, as I pondered these things, and while I go away on holiday at Christmas time, I like to tune in and wait on the Lord. I want to hear what God has to say. That's actually one of the reasons why I like to go away, and I like to walk and listen to the Holy Spirit. And while I was there, I felt the Lord really stir my heart. And the Lord, Holy Spirit stirred me about two things. Firstly, I felt the Lord impress upon me that no matter what difficulty or challenges we will most certainly face in the coming months, 2022 is still a year for moving forward. 20, it's because you got your mask on. I can't hear you so loud. Yeah. 2022 is not a year for just surviving and treading water and putting God's best on hold until COVID passes and life improves. And neither is 2022 a year for giving into fear, weariness, or discouragement. God doesn't want you to be living under a spirit of fear. On the contrary, everybody, God has gone before you into 2022. He's gone before us. And so the Lord, and I believe this with all of my heart, as I felt the Lord stir my spirit, and as I observed in Melbourne in particular what was happening amongst churches, I believe with all my heart that God has placed opportunities, victories, times of refreshing, joy, and blessings for you in 2022. Now, we all know that there's going to be problems. We all know there's going to be battles. We all know there's going to be challenges. And you know what? We don't want to bury our head in the sand. Those things have to be addressed with wisdom and faith. And you know what? We can do that. We can address them. But instead of being overwhelmed by fears and worries, overwhelmed by the news, Real Life Church, I urge us all in Jesus' name, we're going to go right over the top of those things by the power of Jesus, and we will enjoy the sweet taste of victory and the peace of God in 2022. There's fruit for you, growth for you, and there's joy for you that lie in the months ahead. Don't just hang around, grow. Seize the opportunities. The best is yet to come. Absolutely. Secondly, I felt the Lord lay Psalm 23 upon my heart, and especially the opening statement, the Lord is my shepherd. That's why it's on our banner. And so over the next few weeks, we're just going to park ourselves in Psalm 23. Everybody good with that? Yes. That's how it's going to be just for the next few weeks. And as we lay a foundation for a blessed, wonderful year. Amen. Now, I suspect there's a whole bunch of people here who probably could recite Psalm 23 off by heart. Probably, I'm going to hazard a guess. I bet there's a lot of people who can, and I bet they can do it in the King James Version. I also suspect that many of you have found strength. I love that song, we'll find strength in the name of the Lord. Many of you have found strength and you found encouragement over the years within that tiny little psalm, Psalm 23. So what I'd like us to do, it's not in the King James Version, it's in the NLT Version. I thought it'd be great if we just read it together. What do you reckon? I reckon it'd be good if we stood. What do you reckon? Come on, let's stand for the Word of God. Only take a moment to read it. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. So just for a few moments, I'm just going to flesh out the that psalm or part of that psalm. But we're headed for where, when I finished, let's just make a little bit of room for the Holy Spirit to move here today. Everybody open for that? And then let's go home filled with the joy of the Lord. Now, Psalm 23 was written by King David about 3,000 years ago, 30 centuries ago, in the land of Israel. A lot of you know this, not everybody knows that, and that's why I'm just saying these things. And yet this tiny ancient psalm, all six verses of it, still speaks prophetically to the people of God today, across all cultures. And this psalm, Psalm 23, is a word for us at Real Life Church at the start of this wonderful year. It's a word from God for you today. And so today what we're going to do is we're not going to focus on the whole psalm. We've got a few weeks to do that. And we're just going to focus on the first five words, English words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I loved that communion presentation today. That was wonderful, wasn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. So I want us to begin by asking an obvious question, but it's not obvious to all. The question is this: who is the Lord? Because you see, the title Lord is a Christian thing these days, largely. It's not a familiar title that we use anymore in our daily lives. It was once used to describe men of noble rank or high office. These days, we're better acquainted with other words. Words like, or titles like, president, or prime minister, or the CEO. When referring to those in highest authority, we're more familiar with those. But when you read the Bible in our English Bibles, often and intentionally, the English Bibles use the title Lord when referring to Almighty God. Lord, Almighty God. So the Lord in Psalm 23 is Almighty God. That's very important. And there is not another God above Almighty God. That's why He's Almighty God. He is the creator. Almighty God is the creator of space and time. He's the creator of the entire universe. Almighty God is all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's all-wise. And He's all-powerful. And He has all authority. And nothing can be hidden from Him, so behave yourselves. The Lord is my shepherd. So Almighty God is the shepherd. Almighty God is the shepherd that David is talking about. Then he says the Lord is my shepherd. That was emphasized in the communion. The Lord is my shepherd. Please note that tiny little two-letter word. But powerful word, my. David did not say the Lord is a shepherd. David very clearly said the Lord, Almighty God, is my shepherd. The word my implies that David had a special relationship, this special connection with the creator of the universe. And so can you. Now, in those ancient days, there was a deep bond between the shepherd and his sheep. And King David, who wrote Psalm 23, knew all about that bond because he himself was once a shepherd and he loved his sheep. And David drew on that past experience as a shepherd to describe his relationship with the creator of all things. He saw himself as being like a sheep, and the Lord as being like a shepherd. Now, obviously, I'm stating the obvious, but please bear with me. Obviously, David was not literally a sheep. And neither are we. We're human beings. But the Bible often uses sheep as a metaphor to describe some of our behaviors and our attitudes. For example, Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray or strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. For all of us, like sheep, similar to sheep. Nonetheless, while we may be attracted to images of cuddly little sheep like that little picture on your screen right now, don't you just want to scoop it up and give it a bottle of milk? We can be attracted to the images of cuddly little sheep, but it's actually not really a compliment to call somebody a sheep. Hey, you little sheep, you. No, it doesn't really work, does it? If someone said to you, you're like a mighty lion. Tony, you're like a mighty lion. Then that would be a compliment. He would go, whoa. Raw. If someone said to you, you're like a magnificent eagle, that would also be a compliment. If someone said to you, said that you are like a big cuddly bear, well, that's okay, it's manageable. But it's actually an insult, and the Bible knows this. Scriptures know this. It's an insult to refer to somebody as a sheep. It's not a compliment. The Bible doesn't intend for it to be a compliment. And that's because sheep are known to be stupid and dumb. They're amongst the world's dumbest animals. And it took me a long time to get that sheep to pose for that photo. I just want you all to know that. See, while a shepherd loves his sheep, and you know, David really did love his sheep. In fact, there was numerous times where he risked his own life for those little sheep. And he talks about that. While a shepherd loves his sheep, the shepherd also knows that without him, his sheep can't possibly survive. Sheep cannot defend themselves against any predator. I don't know if you knew that or not. Sheep actually have no capacity to fight for survival. And sheep easily lose their way and become lost. They can be within 50 meters of where they should be, and still succeed in getting lost. That's a fact. They need help. And in addition, sheep will never drink from running water or running stream. Consequently, sheep are so stupid that thirsty sheep will die of thirst while staring at a flowing stream of water. So the shepherd has to come, and he makes a circle of rocks in the stream to create a pond, a still pond, so his sheep can drink and live. Sheep are dumb creatures. And sometimes we're pretty dumb as well, spiritually. But sheep can do something that's really important. What sheep can do, what sheep are able to do, is that sheep are able to discern their own shepherd's voice. They can do that. They recognize the shepherd's voice when he speaks. Now, in the ancient world, shepherds would come with their flocks and would often gather with other flocks of sheep and other shepherds at drinking holes together, so you could have several hundreds of sheep all mingling together. Consequently, you would have numerous flocks of sheep all mixed together as they're all trying to access the water supply. But the shepherds were relaxed. The shepherds would never get frustrated and say, mate, keep your sheep away from mine. They're getting all mixed up. I can't tell them apart. The sheep shepherd would never say that. He was relaxed. He would never get frustrated when the sheep were all together, because when it was time to go, the shepherd would simply get up, walk a short distance down the road, and he would call his sheep. Jesus said this. Jesus said, the sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him. They'll even run from those other shepherds there. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Sheep can do something. Sheep know the shepherd's voice and they only follow the shepherd. And that's how vulnerable sheep survived and flourished and provided wool and milk for their shepherds. How did they do that? They just followed the shepherd's voice. They followed the shepherd's voice. They didn't need to fight their predators. They weren't required to do that. They didn't need to worry where the food was coming from. They didn't need to worry about how to get home because they couldn't remember where it was. They had a shepherd that took care of that stuff. All they had to do was follow their shepherd's voice. And that's all we need to do as well. You know, King David saw that it was only because of the Lord's goodness and the Lord's faithfulness to him that he was blessed, safe, and satisfied. Amen. And brothers and sisters, the Lord is good and faithful to you. So David declared, I'm going to shout really loud, so I'm going to move my microphone because I'm a shouter. Amen. But David shouted out, the Lord is my shepherd. Wow. Then 10 centuries later, 2,000 years ago from us, after King David, 1,000 years after King David, Jesus Christ said to a crowd gathered around him, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. They will listen to my voice. Everyone, including Jesus in that crowd, was familiar with Psalm 23. They loved that psalm back then, just like we do today. And so those people in that crowd would have been shocked by what Jesus just said to them. I am the good shepherd. That's because those people knew that when Jesus called himself the good shepherd, he was claiming to be the same Lord that David was talking about in Psalm 23. Jesus is saying, I am the Lord God Almighty. Indeed, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Almighty God. Jesus is supreme over all creation. And Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. That's a good place to say amen with your mask on. I'm actually headed somewhere, so stick with me. Who's still with me? Yes, good. I'm actually building up for something I really want to say. Now, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, that little word my is so powerful because it not only implied relationship with God, but it also indicated that there were other shepherds David could have chosen to follow. But he chose the Lord instead. You might not know this, but many of the pagan nations around Israel had kings and gods that who also laid claim to being shepherds over their own people. That's an archaeological fact, historical fact. And so, surrounded by lots of idolatrous pagan nations, King David rose up and declared to the world, this is really what he was saying, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And as he said that, that was a loaded declaration to the world around him. Because David was really saying, the Lord is my shepherd, not the God of the Babylonians, not the God of the Hittites over there, or the God of the Arameans. I don't want any of them to be my shepherd because they are false shepherds. They are pseudo shepherds that do not care for you and they will lead you to destruction. But it is the Lord, Almighty God, the Creator, the merciful and compassionate King of Kings who is my shepherd. I choose to follow only Him. That's what David was saying. Similarly, when Jesus made the statement, I am the good shepherd, he was really implying that there were shepherds who were bad shepherds, who were leading people to destruction. And some of those bad shepherds were the religious leaders of the day. All people are like sheep, and all people gravitate towards a shepherd. There is a good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Then there are the bad shepherds. So this all raises an important question for everybody in this room. Who is your shepherd today? Who is your shepherd? Everyone has some kind of shepherd. Don't fool yourself. Everybody's following something, someone. Who or what are you following? Who are you listening to? Who actually has your ear? Where are they taking you? Where will you end up if you keep following that shepherd who is dominating your life? Please consider this possibility that if you follow the wrong shepherd, you will miss out on God's best for you, and you may even end up losing your own soul. Very important that you follow the right shepherd. Therefore, be careful who you allow to speak into your life.
Amen.
Be very careful. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Be alert, everybody, to the false pseudo shepherds that try to entice you away from the good shepherd. You know, the Bible warns us about the craftiness of the false shepherds. When it says this in Proverbs, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Crafty shepherds. If you are to rise up, and if you are to overcome and walk in joy and peace in 2022, then the Lord Jesus Christ must be your shepherd, because he'll look after you, because he's a good shepherd. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. He'll guide you through the good times and the tough times, because God is good. Jesus is good. So brothers and sisters, I urge everybody in this room, listen to the good shepherd. Follow his voice. Turn your ear to his word. And don't turn to the left and the right. Follow the voice of the shepherd. In our current point in human history, there are just so many false shepherds. It's really interesting. I've just been working through the book of Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and problems that are the same in every generation. And there's so many false shepherds calling for people to follow after them. And these false shepherds, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Absolutely, absolutely. And I've chosen my words carefully. Please, please just tune in. I just want to be helpful today. Even some Christians have been ensnared by false shepherds who cleverly use distractions that seem right to capture people's hearts and make their ears dull to the voice of the Lord. You know, there's all sorts of examples of different kinds of shepherds, false shepherds. So here's just one. The news media can be an example of a false shepherd. Many news outlets don't just report the news these days. They interpret the news for you. They peddle fake news, and then they'll issue a little apology that you'll never see in the back of the newspaper or something like that. They try to control the way you think about numerous issues. If you drink in everything that the news outlets are peddling, then you'll end up being angry, depressed, cynical, and disillusioned. Too much news will steal your joy. Now, it's good to be aware of what's happening in the world. Of course it is. We need to pray about these things. It's good to know what's happening in the world, but we choose the mind of Christ over the opinions of the false shepherds. The Lord is my shepherd, not the 6 o'clock news. But these days, the place where the bulk of false shepherds lurk is on social media. YouTube, and I'm on YouTube right now. Hope they don't cut us off. We'll see how we go. YouTube in particular is packed with false shepherds. And listen carefully, false shepherds don't look like false shepherds. They look nice. They look nice. They seem really sincere. Their messages are compelling. They seem really smart. They may even quote the Bible. They may even pray. They may even use the Lord's name. But they are false shepherds when they cause you to take your eyes off Jesus and place them on a social, religious, environmental, or political issue. Speaking about such people, Jesus said this in Matthew 24. He was actually referring to the end times. He said, "And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere." Well, we know that in our society. But then it says this, "And the love of many will grow cold." That's referring to Christians. The love of many will grow cold. Why? It's linked to the false prophets. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Our world is just jam-packed with issues. I think you would all agree with me on that. We're just overrun with issues. Everybody's screaming out to be noticed about something. It's like the world enjoys wallowing in its own sin and misery. But so many people get really angry and mad. Have you noticed how people are just not patient anymore? People fly off the handle just because you've cut them off on the road and nearly run them into a tree. And then they fly off the handle. But seriously, people just get so angry and people get so mad over issues. Families get polarized over issues. People abuse other people on social media over issues and say things to those, say terrible things to those with whom they disagree. I can remember one time I said something unfortunate. I gave my opinion on a certain social media platform and, man, I was just talking about the issues, but I got called some names I haven't been called in a long time on social media. Whoa, these people don't even know me. And you get threatened. People get mad and angry. And even Christian people risk losing their passion for Jesus because of their entanglement with all of these issues. Besides our own personal issues, there is the issue of climate change, transgenderism, racism, mandatory vaccination, homelessness, domestic violence, gay rights, euthanasia. The end times is a big issue amongst Christians. Religious discrimination. Well, that's been a government issue lately, hasn't it? But the list of issues on today's agenda goes on and on and on. I could have doubled that list I just gave to you then. On and on and on. On and on. Issue, issue, issue. And of course, we don't make light of any of these issues. Before I get accused of doing that, I don't do that. I don't make light of any of these issues. And of course, we've got to face up to the serious issues of life. But dear brothers and sisters at Real Life Church, none of these issues, as important as they are, should be so compelling that they cause us to take our eyes off Jesus and start arguing with other people. Surely not. Surely not. None of these issues that I've just listed and all the others should be so compelling that I spend hours on YouTube allowing some speaker to draw me into his cause instead of reading and listening to the words of the Good Shepherd that I find in the Holy Scriptures. Brothers and sisters, the scriptures say in Hebrews, let us run with endurance. It's an endurance race. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The Lord is my shepherd, not some guy on YouTube or Facebook or whatever. Jesus, our great shepherd, is more important than any issue or cause in this life. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can guide me to eternal life. Living a life worthy of his holy name is what we live for, not to sort out that issue. Living a life worthy of his holy name is what we live for. In fact, I'll go even as far as to say this. We are more useful to this damaged, broken world when we keep following the Good Shepherd. Amen. 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 So, nearly finished. So we keep things simple. Keep it really simple. We're not left wing. I'm not a left wing person. Hey, I'm not right wing. We're not right wing. We're not left. They're worldly things. We don't belong to the world. We live in it, but we don't belong to it. I'm not left wing. I'm not right wing. We are kingdom of God people who choose to live lives that honor God. That's what we are. We respect the world. We respect numerous issues of life. Of course we do. But we do so through the filter of God's word and his love for all of fallen humanity. We also choose to guard our hearts, and we choose to put our passion back into following the Good Shepherd rather than being led astray by a false shepherd. We choose to keep the main thing, the main thing. Main thing, the Lord is my shepherd. That's my main thing. Nothing else. No one else. He's the only one who knows where he's going. I keep the main thing. The main thing. Thanks very much. The Lord is my shepherd. And today, the world is falling apart. It's a mess out. It's just a mess. The wisdom of this world has been found deficient. People, our family, deserve more than the current crop of false shepherds. They need Jesus. And the world also needs people who can introduce them to the Good Shepherd. So, who are you following? Which voice gets your attention? Who have you tuned into? Dear brother, dear sister, has some issue got your attention, got you all angry and worked up? Let it go. Turn off the world. Let it go and come back to the Good Shepherd today. There is nothing to fear in 2022 with all the stuff that's going on. There's nothing to fear when the Lord is your shepherd. And maybe like David, we need to make a declaration and rise up as we're surrounded by idolatry and pagan activity as people following all their false gods. Maybe God's looking for people who rise up and say like David did in his time, in his generation, the Lord is my shepherd.